Welcome to the Nobilia.org self-discovery project. Today, Anna Glambotskaya, a transformational life coach and creator of Upgradable, will be interviewing me. I'm Saul Sebastian, co-creator of the Nobilia.org self-discovery project, life coach and author. Welcome, Anna.
Well, actually, I just wanted to connect with you because I like the stuff that you are doing, and I want to know about like your journey, and maybe we can create something together. I mean, like a podcast.
Yes.
Maybe we can interview
yes.
each other and then
yes.
chat with people. We can choose a topic
yes.
or something like that.
Yes, yeah, I like your content too, and that's why I share it to my group. You know, it's very seldom that I meet original content creators. That's quite rare. I don't see that very often, and I make an active effort to look for original content creators. They just in the kind of content that we create, just
yeah.
very few and far between, unfortunately. And it's, I don't know why, but that's kind of a sad reality. So you put out really nice content. I never watch your videos, by the way, just to let you know. Just, it's not because I have anything against the videos. I just find videos very slow. I know Facebook loves
yeah.
video and they promote them, but it's too slow for me. So, you know,
yeah. Well,
I don't connect
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, I think all people prefer their own way.
Yeah,
reading
yeah,
or yeah. yeah, so watching.
No, that is more to me. I much prefer reading. It's much quicker. I've got a zillion
yeah.
things to do. I've literally got 30 windows open right now on my computer, so I'm always busy with lots of stuff. So it's just a time issue. But you were saying about the journey. You know, if you really, really, really want to hear that, this is going to be a very long conversation. Somebody, and it's not the new conversation either. Somebody with this same topic conversation came up, and it was a friend of mine. We were chatting, and they said, "Oh, so that's how it all started." And I said, No. You have to go a little bit further back to that. That's not where it started. And then I started to tell a story, and I said, "Oh, that's where it started." I said, No, I'm still not getting there. To go even further back. And that's that. I don't know if you've seen some of the posts that I've been making about the young man story. That is exactly what that story is. It is not a story of my life details. It is a story of my journey of learning. My journey as a philosopher, really, because that's really what I am. And it's not just a philosopher in the typical sense that people think of philosophers as being, you know, dry and boring and all theory and technical. No, not that at all. That's a modern perception of philosopher, by the way. Back in the day, you know, philosophy was psychology also. It was all sorts of things. It was science. It was everything. But it was all about a way to live. So that's my journey, and that's always been my journey since I was a kid, actually, and deliberately so from the age of 10, that I specifically and deliberately looked to ways of living, you know, consciously and deliberately to look at, hey, how can I improve how I live on a daily basis? How can I be more aware? Specifically, that was like my very first thing that I started with. That issue of awareness, broadening the awareness, and how I can be less stupid, in other words, because I became aware of my own stupidity. So, and that was a big deal. So that's my journey from that point onward, you know, dealing with myself and my own knuckleheadedness and nincompoopery, etc.
But
it developed from there.
But how do you create it for yourself on a daily basis? This awareness and
You mean how do I apply it or how do I create it?
How do you apply it?
That's an excellent question. Wow, there's so much to that. I mean, you're asking me a question which essentially, you know, we're developing a course on that, which will be at minimum like a 3-month course. Yes, we have a little starter workshop for 3 days, but it's And I say in my latest post there, you see the way of impeccability. That's what we call my co-creator and I and the co-founder of the Nobilia.org self-discovery project. That's what we call the application, the way of impeccability, because it's a very nice summation of it. And through that, that's the application. It is all built around a core of one's character. This is very important. So most people like to think of things to do in terms of they want kind of a trick or a technique or a mechanism or something like that, you know, something. No, you got to start with the character. And to put it in a business context is kind of useful because a lot of what we do is very nicely applicable in that context. You could have the best employee in terms of they completely phenomenally trained, they're really well qualified, they've got all sorts of skills, they've got experience, and they're just like fantastic for the job, right? In that sense. However, they have no character. They've got no scruples, they've got no ethics, they're dishonest, they've got no integrity. They were going to end up making your company prosperous, yes, but they're also going to end up destroying your prosperous company because they have no character. At some point, that dishonesty, that lack of integrity, that unscrupulousness, etc., is going to screw over the company. We see it all the time, right? Look at Facebook's troubles, for instance, where there are ethics problems of people being kind of unethical in what they do. It's causing them massive problems. This is a phenomenally successful company. It only takes a few unethical employees. So that's the way of impeccability. It is that as your root, your character. Okay. So you start with that as a foundation. So every day, in terms of all of your actions, what you're doing from an application point of view is to make sure that you are in tune with yourself and you're not overstepping your own lines and boundaries of where that edge is that you deem okay and acceptable. And that's really key. People go against themselves all the time and they inevitably get into trouble when they do that. So that's a very powerful fundamental for application. But you're asking a huge, huge, huge question. But I want to short circuit that really fast because there's one extra step that goes hand in hand with that foundation of character. All right. So to build that character, that's obviously a big deal. And that way of impeccability, like I said, that's a big course that we have. And it's a long thing. You know, it's a way of living. And that's not something you acquire just, you know, in a short time. It takes time to develop that. Even a couple of months is a short time, really, but still. So added on to that, once you have that core of character, there's a critical extra aspect that we do add on to that that changes how we approach life most considerably, and that is the concept of attunement. And it's a very powerful concept. So to explain attunement, the nicest way to do it is to think of surfers. And you see them, they paddle out there, they go beyond the surf, and they're sitting in the back of the waves, they're waiting for the swells to come in, right? And you'll see them, if you watch them, they'll kind of paddle a little way this way, and then they'll paddle back again that way. They kind of move around sideways because they're watching. And what they are doing is they're paying attention to the swells coming in. Now, if you're not a surfer, you think, well, one swell, they all look the same. But to a surfer, they can see there's a difference in the swells. They don't all break on the same point, and the ones are bigger than the other, and there's a gap between how long they come, all sorts of things, details, right? Now, if we think of those swells, which they are, the energy, we think of that as life in general, and the same way as that energy, life works the same way. And when you can think of that energy in terms of opportunity, other people, interactions, all the same thing, right? But in order to interact appropriately, because that's what the surfers are trying to do, right? They're trying to position themselves so they can best utilize the wave, be in the right place to catch the wave, right? That's what they're doing with that attunement, which is the moving side to side. So they're looking to take advantage of those opportunities, of that energy, to utilize that energy. So they attune themselves to the rhythm of the flow, and they're watching where the waves break so they can be in that ideal position to catch the wave. When they are in that position where the wave actually breaks, they want to be right on that position. There's minimal effort to actually catch the wave, right? The more perfect they've attuned, the less effort they can use to catch the wave. Now, that applies to anything we do in life as well. The more perfectly we're attuned, like if you're in a company, in a business, and you're attuned to the business climate, you know how to market your product, you know what to call it, you know what people want, what they like. That's attunement, right? But you have to, once you recognize those opportunities, you have to do the next step, which is alignment. So attunement and alignment are this pair that go together. You have to align with that opportunity, which is what the surfer does. They in that position, they align, they paddle a little bit, they catch the wave, and off they go, right? Now they're having fun on the wave, and they're enjoying the opportunity of it, and that energy, they're with the energy, they're riding the wave, etc. So that's the same thing in life. Now, if we look at this attunement and alignment in a broader perspective, in a more personal life perspective, and we start to look at what's happening around us, our friends, our work, our environment, our city, our life, our family, even in our home, anything that comes our way, we start to see how the energy flows around us. And I don't mean energy in any metaphysical way, just literally in terms of how things are happening, where there's pressure, where there's not pressure. So if you know in a big family, for instance, or even if you've been in friends' houses where they have big families, if you attune to people around you and you can start to kind of see, oh, well, I better go now. Things are starting to get a little bit funny. You know, like there's trouble coming, like maybe somebody's angry or annoyed or something. You can see there's going to be an argument because you're attuned, right? You're paying attention. If you're not, the next thing you know, all hell breaks out around you because you weren't paying attention. You weren't attuned. So attunement applies in very simple, ordinary ways, right? If you see trouble before it sees you, you can get out of the way. And the same thing in terms of dating. You want to be attuned to what's going on so that you can read the signals and then you can connect and dating becomes easy. It's not a big struggle, right? So attunement in that sense is something that if we really use it consciously and deliberately and understand what we're doing, then we can align to those forces. Like you can align with a date. Okay, cool. They're interested in me. They like me. I like them. We can get together and we can go out. Life is easy. You just align with it, right? Very simple. So attunement and alignment are two really profound strategies for that daily living. I want to add one more point to wrap this up, though. There's more to attunement. It goes a little bit more than just ordinary things like seeing arguments coming or dating or, you know, connecting, just not upsetting your boss or, you know, being efficient at your work. It goes a little deeper. When we connect and attune to life itself, to the rhythm and energies of life, something else happens. Now it becomes a spiritual endeavor. And now we see, hey, you know, the energies of life, they bring us other lessons and other opportunities. And that's when we attune to those energies. That's when we leverage our awareness. That's how we can extend our awareness and our understanding and our discernment and grow personally. Because I think, as you mentioned in your article, in order to grow and learn, we have to connect to the unknown. If we're not connecting to the unknown, there's no learning. You're just regurgitating what you knew before. That may be refinement and fine-tuning, but it's not actually learning, right? So attunement is connecting to the unknown in a very particular way, because there's a lot of unknown out there. How do you know which particular unknown is going to be beneficial for you personally? That's what attunement does. When you're aligned to the rhythm of life, there's a magic. It kind of guides you or presses you and shepherds you and assists you, if you're paying attention, to be in the right place at the right time to learn what you need to learn. In other words, to connect to the unknown that's going to be the most beneficial to you. And this is a profound thing. It's really, really profound. Now, for us, especially in our workshops and our courses, we don't say, believe me on this. No, I don't ask you to believe me. I simply say, go out and try what I'm saying. Give it a test and see for yourself how it works. And you don't have to believe anybody. You can just figure it out and you'll have the proof for yourself. So it's a very profound mechanism and it underlies the entirety of our philosophy, the A plus philosophy we call it, which is a huge comprehensive and extensive philosophy. There's a lot to it, but that's kind of the core, those two things, character and attunement. So it's also appropriateness in terms of, you know, being able to be appropriate. So there's the core, you know. So we like to call it the A plus because we got appropriateness, awareness, alignment, attunement, you know, all the A words. So a lot going on here.
That's it. You ask a big question,
you know.
Sounds great. Sounds really interesting. But can I just make some analogy of what you explained to me, just for my own understanding? Can this attunement be to kind of like intuition we feel inside of ourselves? It's like we're connecting to great intelligence. And if we take dating, we feel in our body for us input. But then I feel like alignment, it's a kind of even if you find this person and your internal program is not aligned to create great relationships,
yes.
you'll keep on sabotaging it. You don't have the energy inside of it.
100%. That's an excellent analogy. You've got it exactly appropriately. Yes, because attunement is not just to what goes on around you. It's also being attuned to what's going on inside you. It's attunement to absolutely everything. We are attuning to the universe. But most people, when they think of attuning to the universe, you know, in the fullest sense of the word, right? They think that the universe is something out there. But hey, wait a second. Aren't you a part of the universe? Well, duh, that means you have to attune to yourself also. You're a significant part of the universe. Your feelings, your intuitions, your likes, your moods, every single part of you has to be attuned to. And the whole point of attunement is to get it all working in balance. You know, as we say in the course, a spirit warrior is always in balance. Balance is really important. If you're in tune with things, if you're in harmony with things, in other words, if you are attuned, then you are in balance with those things and you're in balance with yourself. So we see so often on Facebook, especially, they say, ignore the mind, follow your heart. Hell no, that's going to get you in trouble. When you're angry, what are you doing? You're following your feelings and your heart. That's what your heart feels. It's angry as hell. But your mind says, hey, this is wrong. Yet you're following your heart and it's wrong, right? And it causes trouble. So you have to have the balance between heart and mind and intuition and feeling. Everything has to work together, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the physicality of the body. You know, if you're feeling ill or you're doing things that are unhealthy, this is going to affect how you think. It's going to affect how you feel. It's going to affect your intuition, everything. Mm-hmm. So intuition, it's interesting that you mentioned intuition. Intuition is precisely what comes from being more aligned. The more aligned you are, the less your intuition is this vague and nebulous thing. It becomes clear and focused and precise, and you can see exactly what's going on. Intuition is just, it's the vagueness that we kind of sort of know what's connecting because we're a little bit attuned. The more attuned you are, the less your intuition is this vague thing. It becomes more and more clear and obvious.
Yeah, because I feel like we very often we confuse intuition with fears, you know, like
yes,
we have fears
yes,
from the past
exactly,
or something is not healed inside of us, and then like,
exactly.
But it might be not like, intuition.
Right. And that's again, when you don't have your past resolved and figured out and worked out, and at least made peace with the fact that there are unresolved issues, you know, that you don't necessarily have to resolve them all, but you have to make peace with the fact that there's crap in your past. Okay, I know there's crap and I'll deal with it when I can, when the time is right, etc. You're at peace with the fact that there's crap. But so you are attuned to that. It's when you're not and you're out of rhythm and out of sync with yourself. Yes, that's when everything starts to fall apart. So attunement is absolutely, it's external and internal and connecting the internal to the external. So here we come to one very extra powerful point with this. And you ask about daily living. So we've got all those A terms, right? Appropriateness, attunement, awareness, alignment. There's one more powerful. Well, there's a whole bunch of A terms, but there's one that goes hand in hand with that. That's very powerful and very important and very necessary, and it connects to it, to intuition, and that's anomalies. And anomalies are, in the old days, they used to call them omens or signs or portents. We don't like to use that terminology because it's very negative and it's also very misunderstood, very much so. People think these are established interpretations of things that happen. An anomaly is simply anything that calls to your attention, another nice A term, right? It's something you cannot ignore. It's something that's unusual, that's odd, that's different, and very often it's completely impossible. So an anomaly is something that forces you to pay attention to it. When we do pay attention to anomalies, inevitably there is some real value in it to us. And it's not because it's got some predetermined meaning. No, it's always personal and intimate to us. And that's where we need to be attuned to ourselves inside. Because what's going on, let's say we reliving some old past experience, right? And it's a relationship that broke up and you're over it and it was a long time ago, but suddenly it's coming up inside you and you kind of don't know why and you've been thinking about it and it's kind of bothering and bugging you. And then you encounter this something that's really odd and unusual that happens. And it's like, man, alive, you know, what the hell is this? It's like sort of really weird, you know, strange and odd and unusual, but it's making you pay attention. If you look at that anomaly then in the context of of it as a symbol, as a metaphoric thing, like I'm almost like a dream that's out in life into you, right? And you look at it in that same way we look at dreams, from that symbolic way, and then connect it to, hey, you know what? Like when I look at this thing, this weird thing that happened, it's all about actually a false perception. You know, so let's say the anomaly is something that's drawing your attention to where, one person is completely unaware of what the other's doing, and it's like really weird and it's unusual and it's really making you look at it, and you say, oh my goodness, you know, I was actually the one that was unaware. I thought it was all their fault, but actually, like, you know, I was doing shit too that I was unaware of that caused the trouble. So now You see what I'm saying? The anomaly is connected because you're looking at it kind of symbolically. And it's related to your thing that's inside you. Those anomalies are like the subconscious's way of drawing our attention to lessons we need to learn, to connections with the unknown. So anomalies are incredibly powerful in that regard. They are just phenomenal because they connect us to what we don't know and what we need to know, and that unknown that you mentioned in order to learn. They're like these signposts that said, hey, here's unknown you need to pay attention to. And you need to pay attention to it in a symbolic or metaphoric way so that you can connect it to whatever the issue is that's going on inside you. It's very powerful. Yeah. It's very exciting. Yeah. So to answer your question, to put it in terms of daily application, just to connect the full circle, paying attention not only to attunement and then aligning to it and what's appropriate, but also keeping an awareness open for anomalies, because anomalies is how we basically can progress when we've come to the boundaries of the known. Anomalies allow us to step into the unknown and say, here's the signpost into the unknown. It's an anomaly. It's very powerful. Okay. Very exciting too. It's a fun way of living too. Very exciting. Very useful.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not a magical thing. A lot of people say, oh, you know, they think it's like, I don't know, woo-woo or magical. No, it's a very simple way to explain it too, if you want to get kind of psychological, technical on it. Mm-hmm. Our brain, the subconscious especially, we perceive a mass of information on a daily basis, right? Any moment that you're looking or listening or you're consciously awake, there's a ton of data, raw data that's flooding into your system, right? We don't pay attention to all of it. We don't process all of it because we don't need to. It's too much. We don't need to notice every single little bump of paint on the ceiling, for instance. It's totally unnecessary, right? However, it's there. It's coming in. So our brains are set up to filter out this mass of information. When something is important to us, however, right, and it's significant and it's going on inside us, what does the subconscious do? It says it filters all that mass of information to something that's unusual, that's odd, that's a little weird, that's strange, that's impossible, something that will grab your attention and something that has a symbolic or metaphoric possibility for interpretation that will resolve your problem. So anomalies are really just a filtering of the mass of data to connect you to something that is connected to what's going on inside of you. So it's just relevant filtering. It's exactly the same thing Facebook and Google does when they show you ads that are the same as stuff that you've been interested in, right? You've been researching cats and dogs and they show you ads about cats and dogs, right? Same thing. Your subconscious does exactly the same thing. It filters the data to what's important to you. So that's how anomalies work on a very ordinary way. Same system. So it's not necessarily magical. Yes, it seems magical when you relate to it, and that makes it fun and exciting. And I like to think of it personally as magical because that makes it fun. But it doesn't have to be. You know, it can be just very boring psychology too.
But can these anomalies be kind of, for example, you start a new relationship and your subconscious mind picking up something in a person which reminds you about the previous one?
Yes.
Also, it has nothing to do with another person, with which your ex, I don't know, partner, right? It's just you have something unhealed inside of you. For example, I don't know, like you couldn't, like you're very obsessed with the uncertainty maybe in the relationship. And then you will keep on focusing on this uncertainty in this new relationship.
Yes. Now, in relationships, you get this a lot. Now one has to be a little bit careful. And, and we have like a little a key that we say three words: awareness, discernment, and understanding. And we repeat those very often. It's like a little mantra almost in a sense, because everything comes back to those three. And when you take the first letters of each, it's add you, right? Because when you apply awareness, discernment, and understanding, it adds to you, and it, and the you also stands for the universe. So it's a little mnemonic in a sense. But when we apply awareness, discernment, and understanding, we always get more. Relationships beginning, early days of relationships, are fantastic examples where we absolutely have to have that awareness, discernment, and understanding. Because you meet up with somebody and you know they say something that strikes you as a little bit anomalous, okay? And they say, well, my mother this, just for argument's sake, right? They bring up, they're mentioning in the comment, you're sitting in the restaurant and they say something about their mother. And you say, oh, that's kind of an odd thing to say in terms of your mother. But okay, then the conversation goes on. So you kind of ignore that anomaly now, and you carry on. But if you have that awareness, discernment, understanding, and you are paying attention to anomalies, and you are attuned to what's going on, and you're looking to be appropriate, then you say, whoa, wait a second, hang on, stop the lorry a second here. That comment about the mother, what is it about it that doesn't quite sit with me? Now you apply that awareness and the discernment. You say, is it something about me and my relationship or the mother? Or is this a red flag that this guy lives in the basement with his mother? And he's a crazy lunatic guy, potentially. I'm stereotyping, but you see my point. So I've watched this, and I've just spoken to tons of people when it comes to relationships. And when they went wrong, right, in the early days especially. And then what I've done with them, and not just with the relationships, but anytime there's been a screw-up of a big nature in their lives, I basically go and I say, okay, what happened just before the screw-up, right? And then I kind of like do a little video rewind. And what happened just before that? What happened just before that? And then when you keep rewinding like that, you have to do it in little stages because that's how the memory works. You know, if you they can't kind of rewind all the way back, but if you're doing little bits and the mind kicks in, they can remember just what came before. So if you keep that process up, at some point they come to that anomaly, which then turns out to be a red flag. And if you even on social media, you see on Facebook people say, you know what? Like I ignored the red flag and it screwed me over, and that's why I got in trouble. So anomalies are very often, especially in dating, there are red flags and we need to pay attention. Something in you is alerting that says, Hey, you know, this is not going to work. No matter how much you want it to work and are desperate to have it to work, it's not going to work because of this red flag. And when people ignore those red flags, inevitably it's a mess. Now, that red flag couldn't just be it could be your own thing that you've got unresolved. But if you have an unresolved issue with your mother and your the person you're looking to date is very connected to their mother, and anything to do with mothers kind of sets you off, well, that's not going to be a relationship for you. Even though it's your fault and something you need to resolve, it's not fair on them to go into the relationship. It's not going to work, right? So doesn't matter who's the one who's got the issue going on, either way, you need to pay attention to those anomalies and really see where it's at and not ignore them. And that's the biggest problem I see in relationships, is people, they're too desperate and they grab on. And, you know, we say desperation is a disease of futility. And that's really what it is. If you persist with your desperation, you're just going to get screwed. That's it. Literally and figuratively. So, yeah, anomalies in relationships, especially in early dating, are phenomenally powerful. Phenomenally powerful.
Okay.
One quick point on it, though.
Yeah.
When it comes to anomalies and red flags, but particularly anomalies, because anomalies are anything odd, unusual, out of place, out of rhythm, out of sync, kind of impossible even. We have to look at them from a symbolic point of view. So whatever we see, it's not literal always. You have to interpret it like the same way you do interpret things in your dreams. And that symbolic interpretation is intensely personal. This is where most people go wrong with anomalies and why the whole thing of omens and signs fell apart and got lost over time and didn't work, because people tried to say, oh, this is what it means. And they say that what it meant to them means so for everybody. Yes, there's going to be some overlap because generally we see things symbolically in the same way. Like if I dreamt about cars, that could mean power to, for most people, or success or wealth or whatever, right? But for somebody else, it could mean, like a pain in the ass because they had to help their father repair the the family car all the time. And it's just, it signals poverty and stress and bother. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? So how we personally relate to something is what makes a difference when it comes to the symbology of the anomaly. So when you got a car, like let's say you're sitting in your yard and a car just kind of drives across your front lawn for no reason. That would be very anomalous, right? It's like, wow, what the hell, you know? Mm-hmm. You have to say, what does this mean to me? How do I interpret this from a symbolic point of view? You know what I mean? So then when you look at it that way, that through that symbolic interpretation, you automatically connect to what is internally of issue to you and important. Because on one day when you're in a good mood, that car will be, okay, well, you know, I'll just take it as a guy on a joyride, somebody having fun, and, you know, they're carefree, and they're not following the rules, and they're breaking convention, and, hey, thumbs up for them. That's good. If you're on a bad day, you say, well, inconsiderate jerk, you know, what the hell are you up to, and you could have caused danger. You see, so the symbology and how we interpret things depends on the day, on where we at. So that's very important to have that flexibility of connecting to the unknown according to what's going on internally with you personally. Very, very important and very powerful to make sure to understand when it comes to this whole deal of attunement and alignment and anomalies and appropriateness, because it's always about being appropriate. So we want to connect it to what's going on inside us. So that's the exciting part.
Okay.
Pretty exciting, yeah?
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah,
it's a long exciting explanation, yes.
Yeah, because it's not as simple. It's a way of living, you see. So, yeah, it is a long explanation because it's a way of living. And, it doesn't come quickly. And something one has to learn over time and practice. So, yeah, it is. That's why I said you're asking a question which is very difficult to answer in a conversation because it is a way of living.
Yeah,
the way of impeccability, and you know that's when you're being impeccable in situations like that. Impeccability doesn't mean always being right; it means doing what you know to be right. So I can do what I know to be right, and it could turn out to be massively incorrect, right? In the bigger scheme of things, doesn't matter. I did according to my conscience, what I know was good, what I thought was right, what I thought was sensible. Yes, that's going to be dependent on the state of my awareness and my knowledge and all that. But if I'm impeccable, I can only do according to as much as what I know is right, right?
Yeah.
So I can't go further than that. So impeccability doesn't mean I'm actually going to be right. I'm going to be doing right according to me and me alone, right? Not to anybody else, but me and me alone. According to my ethics, my sensibility, my knowledge, my awareness, my feelings, my thinking, everything has to be in tune. That's impeccability. So when you take all of this and you put it into that context, in terms of you asked, how do you apply this daily? You want one simple thing? Simply ask yourself, am I being impeccable? And when you say that, and you say combine it with, am I being appropriate? And appropriateness is, again, it's contextual. It depends on the situation, the circumstances. What am I trying to achieve? What are my goals? What are my motivations? What are my resources that I have at my disposal? When you put the two together and you're trying to do what's appropriate in the most impeccable way, well, then life is easy after that, no?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no shortcuts when you're being impeccable, but at the same token, it's longer term. You know, whenever people act unimpeccably, when they try and jip the system, when they indulge themselves, when they try and take shortcuts, what's the long-term result? They always end up getting screwed, right? They screw themselves. No, exactly. And they end up unhappy because they jip themselves. And, you know, then they never learned the lessons that they needed to learn. And then the universe just comes along and says, well, you know, I tried to give you the lesson nicely and you didn't listen. And then I gave it to you again nicely and you still didn't listen. So eventually now I'm coming and I'm giving you a smack upside the head or a kick up the ass because you really didn't listen. Right. So that's kind of the way the system works. Yeah. So it's interesting. Everybody understands that, you know, that you get the lessons nicely. If you don't learn them, then you get them not so nice.
Yeah,
and that's really attunement. You want to learn, be fully attuned so you can learn your lessons in the nicest possible way and enjoy learning them and look forward to learning and do so of your own accord, not doing so because you're being forced. That's the key. That's what attunement is always, to be ahead of the curve. You're looking up for what you want to learn. You're eager to learn. You're on that boundary, exploring the unknown, searching it, looking for the anomalies. You're like the Star Trek guys, you know, exploring out in space. And look at in the space, in all the space TV series and stuff in the movies. What do they inevitably happen? They encounter an anomaly always, right? An anomaly is what, like, is the everything. Then it's all exciting and all sorts of marvelous, wonderful stuff happen because of the anomaly, right? So very nice analogy with anomalies. space. And that's what we really are. We're space explorers, right? If we think of ourselves as learning, as creatures of learning, you know, that's our lot in life is to learn. If you don't learn, then you're going backwards, right? So you have to learn.
I
mean, is it? Sorry, one thing I wanted to say, isn't all badness, all evil, all wrongness, all crap in the world, when you really look at it and you boil it down to its root, it's always because of lack of awareness. Always, at bottom, always, lack of awareness. I don't care how, doesn't matter who the evil person was, that's or bad person or criminal or stupid person, always it's lack of awareness. Now, sometimes it's you know, they get so in their bubbles that they think they know and they don't know, but still, lack of awareness. So, if we don't want to be bad people, we have to work on our awareness, right? We have to make that our priority in life, expanding our awareness. And isn't that what you do?
Yeah.
That's what you do with your posts and everything. It's all about the expansion of awareness, right?
Yeah, that's what you're doing
definitely. In the abstract, right? See, another beautiful A word that we love. It's why we call it the A plus philosophy, because there's all these A plus terms, you know, positive A plus extra terms. So the abstract, seeing things from the abstract perspective, really puts us in context and we know what's going on. So that's what you're all about. You spreading awareness, you enlarging awareness, not just of others, but of your own. And that's why your posts are potent and powerful, because you're writing about your own awareness enhancing experience, correct?
It's where I'm coming to, exactly.
You're coming saying, hey, this is how I expanded my awareness and I'm sharing it with you. That's how I read your posts, and that's what makes them powerful, and that's what makes them awesome and cool.
It just and you, I'm, yeah, I'm sharing my own journey and just
exactly
the people what I'm coming through, so that they can get inspired. Yep. Yeah,
and in the end, that's all we can do. The moment we try and teach, and then you're being presumptuous, you're being arrogant, and you know you can't just. How can you possibly think that I can tell you what's good for you? I'm not the universe. How the hell do I know what's good for you? You know, the one thing that's good for somebody that's good for me might be completely harmful for somebody else, you know, and vice versa. So you can't say, but I can share what's useful to me. If it's beneficial to you, great. If not, well, that's all good too. You know.
Yes. So, yeah.
Very powerful. Sharing is huge.
You're as a product at the end, not what you teach, but you're as a product, your own experience.
Yeah, exactly.
How I feel,
exactly.
Wow, it was really great to hear what you're doing. I mean, maybe we can, if you feel like, do like another time the podcast where you can maybe explain and to put more structure in what you're doing.
Yes, in to detail. Share with people. You asked me a general question, and you asked it earnestly. Now, I'll give you a heads up. If you want to do this for the podcast, have a specific and precise question to ask me and ask it earnestly. Earnestness for me personally is like a catnip. It's like a superpower. So if you ask me a question earnestly, it just pulls the answers from me. It pulls information. It just comes. Right? Something happens to me when I get the earnest question. I cannot not answer that question. And I get, if you ask me a question earnestly, I connect to more information than I would otherwise have at my disposal just readily like that.
Yeah.
But you asked a very, very general question, very broad. So you got the broad general answer. So, you know, if we do on the, just make it very specific and very precise, you know, and because all of these are really huge topics. There is something I will say. It is difficult somewhat because it's an interconnected system. It's like this big sphere. And on the sphere, there's all these little points. And each point is connected with these lines to every other point or most of the other points, right? So that is the totality of the system we're in. And that's where I operate from. I come from looking at the totality. And I see all that connectedness. I've spent my entire life fleshing out all those connecting links between the different points. So the connections between attunement and alignment and awareness and understanding and reflection and discernment, all of these things, right? And intuition, all of it, all connected together. So it isn't always easy to not go general, but to be more specific would definitely be useful.
Okay, great. Well, I will have a look. I will prepare some questions, and maybe we can maybe schedule something for next week or so.
Anytime.
I aim it to be no more than 1 hour, right?
Sure, no problem. I'm very flexible, and I tell you what I would recommend and what would make a really cool podcast. Find something that is of personal concern to you, not necessarily a problem, but something that you have an interest in, that's significant to you, that has energy for you personally. and okay. come with that personal thing that you want to know about. I'm not saying it's like an issue or a problem. No, not at all. Just something that is of interest to you, that's of significance to you, that's like mm-hmm. something that, you know, you've been thinking about it, but you kind of don't have the full angle on it. You know, you're working, but you need the extra perspective on it. That's okay. the kind of question to ask me. Because now when I feel that energy of the personalness of involved, that earnestness that you truly, that leverages me and puts me into a whole different category. And then I actually will connect to you much deeper. I'll actually read you much more and connect mm-hmm. to you intuitively. All sorts of things happen. I'll attune and align to you personally through mm-hmm. that question. And it's really, really powerful. So that'd be really cool, you know, if you yeah. for a conversation topic, you know. And that's okay. usually typically how most of my interactions go. You know, if somebody has something that's on their mind, and really my talent is providing perspective.
Mm.
You know, it's awareness, yes, also, but it's perspective. Not just one, but multiple. So if you have something that you kind of figuring out, working with, you know, looking to resolve in whatever way, I can provide you with perspective. Not necessarily the answers, because I don't like doing that. Even if I have the answer, I'll give you multiple perspectives and you can pick and figure the answer for you, because what I think is the answer and what you know to be answer are two different things. However, mm-hmm. having those multiple perspectives to choose from, now you've got the options, and that's what I can bring to the table. That's my skill, you know, a talent that I have. So.
Okay. Sounds great. Yeah, I will prepare a question. Definitely, I have already something in mind I can ask you. And yeah, and it would be great to do next week. I'll send you a message before, like, about the date. Cool. And, yeah.
The other thing that I'm keen to say, you know, in terms of something that is relevant and pertinent to you, that has some sort of internal energy for you, is because look, in our conversation, I ended up doing all the talking pretty much. And I'm not fond of that. I really don't mm-hmm. care for it, but it's just the nature of the way the thing asked. You asked me such a huge question.
Yeah.
It was kind of impossible not to give it, because I'm trying to give you the fullness of the answer. However, when you come with something that is of importance to you, mm-hmm. now I want to hear your story, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And I will now the whole interaction shifts. It's you telling me a story and I'm just providing from these little angles from the outside, you see? So it's a different kind of interaction. And from a podcast point of view, that's much more powerful, because we're going to have a more balanced interaction. It's not just one-sided. You see what I mean?
Yes.
And you're telling a story. Whereas, you know, you asked me a question which doesn't lend for a story answer. If I had started with a story, I'd tell you the young man's story, but we'll be here till next year, literally. That's what mm-hmm. happened in that first conversation. That's how that book got written. It was literally one conversation, you know. Anyway, so that's the other thing. I like to listen, really. I love to listen and not me be talking all the time. So.
Okay. Sounds great. All right. Let's do that.
Yeah. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. And I am curious, beside the podcast and your posts, do your content, is it connected to some sort of income?
Well, I started to attracting customers, and I have a couple of them with whom I work offline. But my idea is just to do one-on-one coaching, and as well, I create some programs which I want to teach, maybe like at yoga school or at companies.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah. That's why I'm asking, because that's what we're doing also now. We are transitioning, you know, we do a lot of posting, a lot of writing, and, you know, I've got dozens of books, literally, a couple of dozen of them that need to be published, but we also need income. You know, books aren't particularly good. For our kind of books aren't an income stream, because they're niche market, they're small market. So same thing, we're doing the workshops and the online courses, and also the personal coaching as appropriate, right? That's why I ask, because then we can align and attune our energies toward that goal.
Yes.
Right? Because that is an intent of yours. You are looking to generate customers, right? Coaching club customers. And customers for whatever class or workshop that you wish to put on, right? In the same thing, I'm in exactly the same business. So that way, in terms of the podcast and interactions and our posting and all that, we can, you know, connect in that way and benefit each other in that way. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's very cool. You know. Yeah. So let me ask you, if you have the time, just say, if you got to go, just say I got to go, and it's no problem.
I have to go in 5 minutes or so.
Okay. Yeah. I want to ask you specifically in terms of your area of expertise that you feel where you can provide coaching. Like for me, it is specifically character. That's where we are and living in attunement, right? So it's life philosophy. That's our angle of space. Very broad and overall, right? The ways of living, in other words. But, you know, you might have an expertise, say, in relationships, for instance, or whatever. I'm keen to know what you feel your angle of expertise is.
Well, for me, it's a kind of, it's a bit different because I'm the person who likes to see the global picture. And if you have ever seen, do you know what is Jinkies?
Jinkies, say again?
Yes, Jinkies. It's a kind of like when
Gene Keys, yes. Ah, right. I just couldn't hear the word properly. Yes, I know what you mean. Yes.
And I was studying this program, and actually I have this profile of a teacher, and these are the people who can't be specialized in one thing. And I feel it in myself so much. I can't be focused on the relationship only because I like to see how all things are interconnected together.
Yes.
Because relationships, business, money, they are so much connected.
Yes.
And that's why, like, I coach people on this more like intuitive basis where, like, I feel what is going on with them and what they need at that moment, you know.
Yes, for us, we call that overview perspective. Mm-hmm. And we love overview perspective. And attunement, it's an appropriateness, both of them. Those are such key A words for us. You have to pay attention to overview perspective, to the universal context. If you're not doing that, I could be entirely appropriate in my personal immediate context, but I could be utterly inappropriate in the universal, in my life context, right? So you have to be appropriate in all the contexts, in the overview, the universal, your life, your immediate, your family, business, town, local, country, all contexts, right? So that's very important. So, yeah, so from that point of view, we come at it from the same connectivity. So that's kind of cool. And then you focus on the intuitive angle connectivity to it. That's excellent.
Yeah.
So next time we chat, you know, and feel free to call me and chat anytime if you just want to chat. To get even before the podcast, because I can talk about this stuff all day long. I'm keen to hear more precisely on that angle of expertise. That, in other words, think of it like you giving me your sales pitch if I were a customer. Like, I'm interested in life coaching. I'll listen to it from a perspective of a fellow life coach and saying, you know, okay, give you perspective on it and that kind of logic and angle. So. Because one of the things that Olivia and I do, we also coach coaches. So that's a part of our deal. Because we have such a very huge overview and it's a detailed, comprehensive system, and because it's character and all that, it applies to no matter what field you're in, right? It's a way of making yourself more efficient, more effective, more appropriate, more connected, and more aligned, more attuned. All of that applies no matter what you coach, right? Or what you do. It's not just coaching, but it's business as well. So we coach executives as well. So that's why I'm really keen to hear more, because the more I know exactly precisely where you're at, the more attuned I can be to you, and the more aligned we can get, and the more everything is wonderful, right?
Yes, sounds great.
And it's fun. And it's fun chatting to you. You know, and I don't often get to talk on this kind of a level of interactivity where, you know, we to discuss this stuff. Most people don't want such deep conversations. You know, they want to talk about the weather and politics and you know, the celebrities and stuff. So, not that I mind talking about that, but hey, I want a little bit more. I need soul food. You know, so this is soul food to me. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I'm on the same page. Yes.
So, yeah. I do like your posts. I do like them very much. You know, your writing is very deep and insightful. There's lots of discernment to it. And it's rare. Like I said, they're pretty awesome. Not pretty awesome. They're very awesome. So I want to make the point to say to you, it's unusual. And as a point to, I don't know if you got the time, but I don't want to forget, I would say, your written communications are extremely powerful, much more so than it comes across verbally. Next time we chat, I'll tell you why on that, because it's a long conversation, but
okay,
it's very important, because there's a prejudice in terms of accidents, and it's something that it's unfortunate for you that you have to deal with, but it's kind of unfair in a way, but you know, it's good to be aware of it though, right?
Okay.
Our people, they have a bias towards accents. So anyway, we chat about it whenever you want. So pretty cool.
Sounds great.
Yeah, this was fun, Anna. This was really great. So again, you know, say I'm always available. Call whenever. You know, if I don't answer, I'm doing a workshop. That's the only time I'm not available. But.
Okay, that's great. Yes.
All right, cool.
Thank you again.
And anytime.
See you soon.
Yeah, that was fun. That was very cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, me too.
All right, yeah. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye, Anna.
Bye.